The Physics of Star Trek, one of my favorite television shows, great movies. Lawrence, the physics that occurred when Gene Roddenberry created this incredible series, how did he have the vision, the foresight to look into the future and see some of the things that are happening right now?
Well, I think, when, to be fair, one has to understand that he wanted to create a space western, and he wanted to make it fun. And I think he used to like to visit the Jet Propulsion Lab and find out what was going on there. But what's happened is that I think that I like to say it's not kind of causal. I don't think he predicted what was going to happen, but that intelligent people often approach problems and come up with very similar answers, even if they come at it very differently. So that, for example, when he was writing the series, the only way you could try and diagnose someone often was to open them up and look inside. But obviously, that's an awful invasive way to do it. That was even before ultrasound, and now we have MRI and CAT scanning. And so wouldn't it be nice to be able to diagnose someone with just a scanner, with just a tricorder? And of course, it's a lot easier in Star Trek to invent that. But doctors, for the same reason, thought it would be a lot nicer to make non-invasive imaging, and over the years have come up with many different ways to do it. I think that it's often the case, as I say, that these things are thought of in parallel. But Roddenberry really wasn't trying to be scientifically accurate. He wanted to make a show that was fascinating. And to me, the reason it's been so successful over the years is that it's about possibilities. It's about the possibilities of the universe, the possibilities of alien civilizations, the possibilities of getting beyond our own petty myopic rivalries here on Earth. And really, that's what science is all about. It's about possibilities, and that's why I'm a physicist. My wife will say, I don't really care about what's practical. She reminds me on a daily basis. I want to know what's possible out there. And that's the mission of the Enterprise, to go out and spend, 5 years initially, but eventually beyond that, finding out what was possible in the universe. And it is amazing that sometimes they got it right. Sometimes it was completely accidental. And sometimes, of course, they produced a lot of nonsense. And it's fun. And as I say, it's fun to, at least it was fun for me, and apparently for a lot of other people who've read the book, to try and see what they got right and what they didn't.
Did they talk with real scientists, do you think, in order to try to get it right?
Well, as I say, Roddenberry used to like to go to Caltech and the Jet Propulsion Lab to talk to scientists. And every now and then, some of the writers have at least tried to pick up Scientific American. But I don't think they worked so hard to get it right as to get it to sound right.
So they didn't have physicists on the set.
Sometimes by sounding right, they got it right.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, did they yank scientists in, put them on the set, in things like that? Probably not.
I wish they had, because I was hoping that when I wrote The Physics of Star Trek that I'd spend a lot of time on it. I've gone to Paramount since then. I was kind to the writers, and I've been there. But, no, they didn't have – they have science consultants, but the science consultants have been there more to just read the scripts to say, does this sound right? Or if there's a plot problem, can we come up with some technical-sounding language that will make people believe we know what we're doing?
Okay, let's talk about some of the things you think they got right, and what did they get wrong?
Well, where do you want to start?
Both sides of the list are probably pretty long. Huh?
Yeah, they're pretty long. I mean, what's your favorite thing in Star Trek?
Warp drive and teleportation. Teleportation.
The transporter, the teleporter is in fact the reason. That's what seduced me into writing the book. Because I was thinking one day about how would you make a transporter, and just all of the neat science you'd have to think about if you wanted to make such a thing. And I thought, wow, this could be neat, and that's what got me started. And of course, right away I realized I wouldn't make a transporter the way they say you'd make a transporter. If you read the Star Trek technical manual, I'm sure some of your listeners have it, you'll find out that the way a transporter is supposed to work is supposed to take someone like you or me and vaporize them down to the atomic level, and then take their atoms and send them in a matter stream from one place to another, and then reassemble them back to the other place. Well, I wouldn't do that, because I've surfed the Internet, and I've seen the light, and I know it's a lot easier to transport information than atoms. I've been able to download the plans of a Ferrari and even the picture of a Ferrari, but I've never been able to download the Ferrari itself. But so what I would do if I was going to make a transporter is I would take all the information that makes you up as a human being and transport that information at the speed of light from one place to another, and then take some atoms I already have here in this room and combine them with that information and make another copy of you right here. Now, that's not a transporter because you're still there as well as being here.
Like
well,
a fax machine.
I vaporize you over there, and now you're only over here.
Well, and in some cases, it's like a fax machine, isn't it?
It's like a fax machine, but the problem is, well, there are lots of problems. If I want to take all that information, you know, with the fax machine, I only have to have reproduce those letters on a page. But you are an incredibly complex entity, as all humans are.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to take all the information that makes you up as a human being and store that, I calculated that it would take, I'd have to stack, if you have a 100 gigabyte hard drive on your computer, which is a pretty big hard drive, but many people have them now. If you have a 100 gigabyte hard drive, I'd have to stack them from here a third of the way to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, 10,000 light years worth of such hard drives, in order to digitally store at the present time all the information in a human being. And what's worse, it would take longer than the age of the universe to transport that much information, even with not having dial-up, but having, say, a cable modem. So it is unfortunately impractical at the present time to do that. But that doesn't make it impossible, because in science there's a world of difference between what's impractical and what's impossible. But alas, and unfortunately, I would argue that the transporter is impossible. And for someone who flies a lot like me, that's very sad, because I would love to not have to go through security lines every week.
You know, Lawrence, I was just saying that Friday when I had to go to Detroit. It was a good flight, and it wasn't long. But I sure would like to be able to just dematerialize and pop up someplace else.
Oh, so would I. In fact, as I say, I was thinking about that, and it would be great. And it would be why, and that's one of the reasons why people are so fascinated by it. But the reason it'd be difficult to do that for a human being is a fancy law, it turns out, of quantum mechanics, something called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which says that I can never measure where every atom is in your body and know exactly what it's doing at the same time. I can know where it is, but then I won't know what it's doing, or I can measure what it's doing, but then I won't know exactly where it is. Well, clearly, if I want to put you back together again at the other end and have you come out, you know, without an eye in the back of your head or whatever, I have to know where, especially if you want to have all your memories, I have to know clearly what the atoms are and what they're doing, and I can never know that at the atomic level. So basically, I can never take you apart and put you back together again exactly as you were before. Now, whether you're close enough that you'd be willing to live with it, well, that's for you to have to decide.